So we are in the book of Judges, and a lot of stories in here, a lot of action, a lot of things happen, some heavy stuff, some exciting stuff, and it says everything about life, right? You know, because there's just so much going on, ups and downs, especially in the Christian life. You know, we live in this world, but we're not supposed to be of the world, and it's hard to be set apart. So anyway, we're going to go to the book of Judges here if you want to open up and be ready to just take it all in. We'll pray and we'll dive in. Lord God, thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I'm thankful for a church that teaches us to not only read the Word, but to study the Word and to grow in our relationship. Lord, we have discipleship that builds us up to do much more than just live out salvation, but to live out a life of serving you with that salvation. So, Lord, thank you so much for this series that we're in, Route 66, Lord, going through the Bible, Lord. Your Bible's alive and it's real, Lord. Speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this morning, allow me to give you a piece of my heart, okay? Today's message is from God's Word, and it will be most effective if we would first believe and trust what it says, okay? In the deepest part of our hearts, not just the surface, but go much deeper today when you hear the Word. In fact, every time the Word of God is opened up, allow it to penetrate the deepest parts of our heart, right? Because that's where Jesus resides, and this is like water, man. It's always cleaning us up and getting us right back to where we need to be, because a lot of times we just get off the beaten path and we find ourselves not where we should be. And God gave so much. He gave his Son for us to just be willy-nilly about our faith and to be casual, right? So Psalms 29:4-5, that would have been our reading yesterday. It says this: the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Verse 5, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. And not just the cedars, it says the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. So that special cedar is Lebanon. It's a very prized cedar. It's a hard, durable cedar tree. And it says here, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. If you have a heart of Lebanon this morning, based upon the description I just gave you, again, just allow God's word to go to the deepest part, right? We're in the book of Judges. Nobody likes to be judged. Nobody likes to be told what to do. And in this case, it's not all about that, but it can be some of that, right? So God would much prefer to forgive us than to judge or punish us. And we're going to find a lot of that in the book of Judges, a lot of punishment and, of course, a lot of grace, a lot of mercy. So Acts 7:51, it says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers so did ye. So a lot of times we resist what God is speaking to us, because sometimes we just don't want to hear what God has to say. Sometimes we want to live our own life, do our own thing, and the next thing you know, we're in a path that is less than fruitful for our lives. And a lot of times, Father's Day, we bring our family with us into a place where we shouldn't be. And then we just become another statistic. So today's teaching and preaching is about breaking the cycle and the complacency of the Christian life. So this is where I would have the whiteboard up here, and I would say we're going to speak on four things today: the panoramic view, two, the primary events and people, three, pictures of Jesus, and practical living. So if your books are open to Judges, we're going to speak on the panoramic view right out the gate. So the author is Samuel. The theme would be to trust and obey God or face punishment, wrath, or judgment, okay? God paid a great price to to get his children. He chose the children of Israel, and he was going to take them to the promised land. And I'll be honest with you, it's like raising kids. They don't always want to do what they need to do, but we need to be there to correct them along the way so we can get them where they need to be. And the children of Israel were difficult people. So we need to trust, obey God, or face the punishment thereof. So the time range is roughly about 305 years. This time frame, when we go through chapter 1 all the way to 21, talk about 305 years taking place. Book of Judge parallels much with the book of Joshua. Tyler spoke on that last week. Hopefully we have time to share that. At this point, God has kept his promise. We know God was promising a promised land. And to be honest with you, we're about 40 years late. You know why? Because it's God's fault? No, it's God's people's fault. A lot of time, we would choose to take the long road than the short road because we are all about ourselves, and we're not good listeners. We're not good followers, not good in obedience, not good at serving the Lord. So the promised land has been delivered, but we're about 40 years late because a lot of people who didn't get to go in. The days of manna and quail are over. God is now, he's no longer providing quite like that. They're going to go in the promised land, and God's going to give them that so they can be sustainable to themselves on the physical side of things, okay? The children of Israel failed to drive out the inhabitants of the promised land. Big problem. This is the core reason why the judges are even in the equation here. Because they failed to drive out the inhabitants of the promised land. God says, I'm going to give you this land, and I'm going to provide everything for you. I'm going to be there for you. We're going to do it together. But they just got comfortable. A lot of times when we become Christians, we get our salvation. It's like, yeah, man, I am saved, bought, and sealed by the blood of the Lamb, and I am good to go. Man, I'm going to go to heaven. But in the process, sometimes we can find ourselves living life like hell. And that's not what God intended. So they just failed to drive out the inhabitants of the land. Truth is, they chose not to. They were complacent. They were lazy. They were self-confident. They self-empowered. They were casual, and they were what we know as Laodicean. This book really parallels well with the Laodicean church age in Revelation. So the Laodicean church age, by the way, is the age that we're living in. There's seven church ages. The last one is the Laodicean. That's where we're at now. That's where we're living. Just look around. The world's a mess. Everybody is doing that which is right in their own eyes. So it's the rights of the people is what the Laodicean means. So the book of Judge parallels with the church age. Let me tell you something a little bit about Joshua and Judges. So I wish I could write all this down, but you're just follow along. So in Joshua, God's people were victorious. In Judges, they lived in defeat. In Joshua, they were at rest and liberty. But in Judges, they were in bondage. Okay? What you have here is a picture of the new man, the old man, okay? And here in Joshua, they were believing God, trusting God. And over here, when they get to Judges, they exhibited unbelief. Over here in Joshua, they were advanced. They were advancing. They were kicking butt, taking names. Then they get to Judges where they got complacent, and then they slipped. They just started slipping. Over here, they were heavenly minded. Things were happening, man. God was doing all this stuff, and they were heavenly minded. And then over here, they became earthly minded. You see the deterioration there? God never, they were doing so well, but then after they got into the promised land, then they just kind of got a little careless, a little lazy, just casual. They didn't really, you know, they just weren't loving God like they were supposed to. And all that came to their demise. I got more stuff here, but we won't share it. So in Joshua, it was victory, victory, victory. Every battle, they were kicking butt, taking name. They were winners. They were making things happen. Then they get to the judges, and the children of Israel did not drive out the enemy. They did not drive out the enemy. Joshua pictured Jesus. Tyler did a great job explaining that. He has driven out the enemy at the cross. So we know why in Joshua, he's pictured Jesus, and he's driving out the enemies, and things are happening. I mean, they're getting to the promise. They crossed Jordan. I mean, things are good. There were some things along the way. I mean, Achan, Tyler talked about that. And he messed up, but anyway, they fix it, and they move forward, right? By the way, as a Christian, if you break it, fix it. The very Savior that saved you at the day of salvation can save you 10, 15 years removed from your salvation today, right now, in the moment. Prayed up, fessed up, and God will seal the deal. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one that gave his all for our life. So Joshua pictured Jesus. When we get to Judges, Judges also pictured Jesus. But it's in a different format because everybody is just going about doing their own thing. Over here, people were together. They were knit. Over here, it's just like, I'm just going to go off and do my own thing, live my life my own way. I'm in the promised land. I got it made. So let's talk about the key verses and some themes. So this is really good here. This is where you really want to note some stuff down. But there's a common theme in the book of Judges in regards to the judgment of God's people. Okay, so mentioned seven times, it says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Seven times. Five times, the word again is used in that statement. It says, and again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They were doing their own thing. That sums that up, right? Maybe we can explain more of that later. Five times, and the anger of the Lord was hot against them. That's five times. That's five times separate from the seven. So you can imagine doing evil in the sight of the Lord is going to bring a little heat, right? You know? I mean, you know, it's just natural when you screw up, someone's going to come along and correct you, right? When you're either young or if you're like my age and you got a boss and or you're married, that happens too, right? So anyway, that was a joke. You could have laughed at that for sure. So you screw up, you're gonna get fixed up. So mentioned nine times reference to the children of Israel coming out of the Egypt. So, and we're going to read real quick a couple things here that will explain this well. But nine times, it says there's a reference of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. No sooner than they screw up, God is there reminding them, I took you out of Egypt. You thought it was bad over there. Look at you here. You're living in the promised land, and you're in bondage. That is not what it was intended to be for the Christian living. A lot of times we choose to live this life like that. So six times the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Why? Because things are bad. Things are rough. Judges 10:14 says, and at one point God says this to the children of Israel. I'll give you something to cry about. No, he didn't say that. He says, children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Six times that's mentioned. Judges 10:14 says, go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. You want to serve other gods besides me? Why don't you go and cry to them and see how that gets you? Yeah. God at this point, he's a little fed up. After all, he's hot, right? Sometimes when we're hot, we say some hurtful things and meaningful things. And coming from God, they have it coming. And we have it coming too. Mentioned four times, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Are you seeing the pattern here? You're seeing the pattern? It says here, in those days, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Four times mentioned. Seven times, That sounds bad. Everything I've said is bad. Here's something encouraging. It says seven times the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord was moving or coming upon the judges. Seven times. So in the midst of all this chaos, God is still present in the form of His Spirit. When you think that you have messed up and there is no return for you, I have done this, I've said that, I got this secret nobody knows about, and you are just engulfed in that, the Spirit of God is still moving. I have a wayward daughter. I trust that the Lord is moving. I trust that. I live for that. And we will see her return because I believe that. So thank God for, in the midst of all the bad things that we just mentioned, His Spirit is moving. His Spirit is moving. God is always on the move to lead us to righteousness. Be encouraged. God moves in our rebellion. Sometimes it's a spanking. Sometimes it's a hug. Sometimes it's comforting words from here. Sometimes it's comforting words from one of you to somebody else here. Sometimes it's correction. However the case be, God is moving. Mentioned 13 times is the word why. 13 times. Why? You got all this. I mean, things are bad, guys. I'm about ready to read some of it. And 13 times the word why, with various meanings, is mostly leads back to the question, why is this happening? Which equates to the statement, woe is me. You know how it is? Man, I don't know why this is happening. Well, there's probably about four or five people around you that could tell you why if you just ask them, because they're judging you. Get it? So reading the book. So anyway, judging isn't all bad, by the way. So let me read a little bit here. Keep an eye on my time. So if you go to chapter 2, we're just going to go through a little relay here of what's happening. So if I didn't give you enough in this these key themes and verses here in the panoramic view, let me share this with you. This will settle all scores. Okay, Judges 2. I'm going to do some reading now, okay? You just follow along. Stay in the book of Judges. Don't go nowhere. It says here in chapter 2, verse 1, and an angel of the Lord came upon Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land where I swear unto your fathers, and I have said I will never break my covenant. And he says in 2, and I will make no league, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Clearly, he told them what to do, but why? If you're a parent in this room, that's, you know, you're correcting your kids. Why'd you do that? I don't know. You got to train your kids so they do know, right? Because one day they will be serving the Lord full time, and you don't want them to say, I don't know. Very important. Very, very important. Parents, get after it, because they will grow up fast. It says here in verse 3, wherefore I said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. Basically, that was the consequence of not doing what you're told to do. I'm going to, if you go in, you got the promised land, drive them out. Christian, if we are in the promised land, we are to take the old things that used to be a part of our lives and say, you know what? I'm done with you. I'm done with that. I'm going to stop doing that because that has been a thorn in my side all these years. But then you get into the Christian life and you come to church, things are good. A couple years later, 6 months, whatever the case, all of a sudden you're back to doing the same thing. And the thorn that wasn't supposed to be there, that God removed, is now back by your own choices. Okay? So here, let's follow along. Okay, go down to verse 11. And this is chapter 2. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God, of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed after other gods, and the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and serve Baal and Ashtaroth. Okay, let's go on down to verse 18. It says, and when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of the enemies in all the days of the judge, for it repented. And the Lord, because of their groanings, by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them, Okay, things are good again. Okay, wait, they're about to get bad. Verse 19, and it came to pass when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following the gods to serve them, to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against, and said, because with that this people had transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, have not hearkened unto my voice. I also will not henceforth drive out any more from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. Wow. He's like, okay, I think they just pushed God to the limit. He says, he's basically keeping his word, because he told them on the other side of Jordan, this is what you're going to do. When you get across Jordan, you're going to the promised land, you're going to remove everybody. Okay? That means kill it. Kill it. That's what we're supposed to do with our past. We're supposed to kill it, right? Kill it. We're supposed to die to these things, okay? And then he says, by the way, if you get over there and you don't do it, I'm not going to help you. You're going to be on your own. And we see the pattern of this. So that's basically, he's keeping his promise in what I just read. Go to chapter 3, verse 5. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, all the Ites, and they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons to serve their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and Grove. So anyway, I would love to keep going, but it's incredible. That's the pattern throughout the whole book of Judges. They are doing their own thing. They are doing their own thing. And the very God that they're supposed to serve, they're bowing down to these other gods. There's Christian living today, is it not? So the chapter outline here is chapter 1 through 2 is deterioration because of their idolatry. Chapter 3 through 16 is about deliverance, the 12 judges. And think about the judge. We're going to talk about that. Did you hear what I just said? Everybody probably immediately, judges, man, I don't want to be judged. Judges, I mean, that's heavy, man. People getting on me about what I'm doing wrong. I know I need to be corrected, but that's too far, man. Well, this is here, deliverance. Judges deliver. Judges deliver. Judges are the Jesus Christ. Every judge has a parallel with Jesus Christ, and we won't be able to get through all those, but deliverance. Now, chapter 17 through 21 is depravity. It's evil. Continue in sin and disobedience. So that is your chapter outline and the end of your panoramic view. Now, the events and people. So we have 12 judges, military and spiritual leaders, right? That's what they are. Some are flawed but chosen to save God's people regardless. So as we read through and you go through all these judges, you're going to like, oh, man, that guy was sharp, man. Yeah, that guy was sharp. Then this guy, man, I don't know how he made the team, but he didn't do too well, and he made a mistake. So, but God used him. God can use us to help each other and deliver each other regardless of the flaws. We got to be careful there, you know. If your testimony isn't what it should be, people will have a hard time listening, you know. But we are in it together to help each other. We're deliverers as judges ourselves, right? And I'll explain more of that later. So we have 12 judges. There's Othniel, there's Ehud, there's Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jer, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abaddon, and Samson. Some of these you guys know, some of them not so much. But these are the 12 main judges. There are 5 minor judges that we don't, unless you read it, you don't know about. But it doesn't mention much. But these are your 12 main. There was a couple key women in this as far as the main people, and that was Delilah. That was Samson was so blind with lust that he could not see that she was a co-conspirator of his enemy. And then there was Jael. She killed the enemy, Sisera, with a hammer and nail to his head. So pretty cool. The women, this particular Jael was bad news. Delilah was bad news. Jael actually was a deliverer. She took the enemy and it said it staked his head to the ground, man. You know, so pretty incredible passage there. Read it up and make a movie out of it. Okay, summary of the judges. Everything I just told you, there's a cycle here. Let me read that to you. You ready? Summary of the judges. 1, people do evil. 2, God sends oppression and oppressors by the other nations. That's 2. Number 3, people cry out to God. Number 4, God raises a deliverer, a judge. Remember, the judge is a deliverer, okay? And 5, the oppressor is defeated. 6, then the people have rest. So we just went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then it repeats. And I just read that to you. It just repeats. They have this endless cycle. The cycle continues. It becomes a cycle of life for God's people throughout the book of Judges. God is persistent in his persistence is deeper than our sin will ever be. That's why they would cycle around. He just never let them stay there. God is full of grace and mercy, is he not? That they would cycle around and then they're back in sin, they're doing evil, and he'd walk them through the steps and he'd get them right back to where the people have rest. I can probably go through that a couple times a week, honestly. At different times in my life, I've struggled with that. But God, he is persistent. He will never let us stay there. We just got, and you know, and by the way, it says here, they send the oppression, the people cry out. That crying out is repentance, by the way. It's okay to cry. It's okay to, maybe you won't do the tear thing, but maybe you'll do the heart thing, and you're just so broken in here. Lord, I am so sorry that I did this, and I said that, and I need to go make it right with those people. But Lord, first, I'm making it right with you. I am sorry. And then the oppressor's defeated. The one that talked us into whatever we were doing, the enemy ultimately, he's defeated. He's done. Then you get rest, and then you go right back. You know why that is? Because we all have this flesh. We got the Spirit of God in us, but we have the flesh. This flesh will talk us into things. We just got to be we got to listen to God's voice and not the voice of the enemy, who obviously controls our flesh. So the cycle continues, and it becomes a cycle of life for God's people. It don't have to be that way. You know, as a man, there's things that I struggle with. And I have a game that I like to play. And my game is, I'm going to win more than I lose. I'll talk myself into something I want to buy. Nope. Win, because I didn't need it. I'll see a young lady walking by, and sometimes I'm drawn by her appearance. Ain't going to look at it. I win. And sometimes I lose. And then I'm sorry. Sometimes I pick a fight with the wife, not intentionally, and I don't want to say I'm sorry. I say I'm sorry. I win. But I also lose. But I want to win more than I lose. I just don't want to be a loser as a Christian. Too great a price was paid at the cross for me to just be, you know what, I'll never win this battle, and just come to church and live in the defeat. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. So anyway, let's talk about the pictures of Jesus here, okay? And there's a lot here, and I possibly can't go through it all. So let's talk about picture. Samson was a Nazarite from a barren womb. Jesus also was a Nazarite, which was conceived in Mary's virgin womb. Samson and Jesus were both led by the Holy Spirit. They were Holy Spirit-powered lives. Like Jesus, Samson was a divinely chosen leader set apart at birth for a special purpose. If you look at the parallels, it's pretty incredible. Samson was supernatural strength that aligns with the miraculous power that Jesus had. Samson is a picture of Jesus. Then you have Gideon. Gideon was called by God to deliver Israel from the oppressor of the enemy, the Midianites. Okay? He was called to be a deliverer. Jesus was a deliverer. Gideon was initially reluctant to accept his calling. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he humbly accepted his calling. Gideon fought battles, and if you remember the story, Gideon, he's hiding behind a wine press, and he's hiding some food because he's living in fear, and God comes up and says, "Hey, warrior, we got a warrior hiding. We are warriors. We're not supposed to hide. We're not supposed to live in defeat." But that's what Gideon was doing. And he says, "Hey, have I not called you to go to war?" And anyway, long story short, they get to the war. And then he says, "Yeah, you got too many people. Let's, anybody who's afraid, tell them to stay home." Well, then half of them chicken out, you know, and they go. And then he says, "You know what, Gideon, you still have too many people." He says, "I want you to go to the water, and whoever's getting a drink, if their face is immersed in the water, then you'll have those that will do this. I want you to get the ones that do this, the ones that are alert. I want you to take them." Well, the only problem was there were 300 of them. And Gideon, he won this battle. He won this. He had the victory over the battle with minimal warriors. Okay, Jesus ultimately triumphs over sin and death through his sacrificial death at the cross. So there's a parallel there. We have Deborah. She pictures Jesus with her unwavering leadership. If you read on Deborah, she was spot on. There was no flaws there, no flaws at all. So she had unwavering leadership. So does Jesus. You can trust Jesus if he takes you into battle. Deborah, as a judge, has no mentionable flaws like the other judges. Like Jesus, she served as a prophet and a righteous judge. It also mentions that there in the Bible. So those are the three that I'm going to give you, but let me give you some details. The judges, although many of them were flawed, all point to deliverance and leadership of Jesus as the ultimate deliverer. Okay? These judges, like I said, I don't know how they made the team, but you know what? David was King David. What was he? He was King David. And yet he did some... He stole a man's wife and then he had him killed. And God still used him. And it says he was a man after God's own heart. So you can't get too picky on stuff like that because God uses everybody. The book of Judges highlights the need for a perfect leader and judge, which is ultimately what Jesus fulfills. The book of Judges can't escape the recurring cycle of oppression, repentance, and deliverance in Israel's history. The cycle addresses the struggle with sin and the need for a Savior. Jesus is involved. Remember, the Spirit is with, he's moving throughout the book of Judges, right? And the book of Judges reveals the need for a righteous ruler and a judge. This is an anticipation of Christ's role as the ultimate judge who will bring perfect justice and establish God's eternal kingdom. Despite Israel's repeated failures and turning away from God, he constantly shows them grace and sent the judges to rescue them. So the children of Israel, they're high, they're low, they're high, they're low, they're high, they're low. And in the midst of that, God is working in their hearts and lives. He never lets them stay there. Even though that cycle through comes back around, his grace comes back around following it. God is merciful and graceful. So this portrays God's boundless grace and love offered through Jesus Christ. This book highlights the shortcomings of human leaders and the need for a perfect, righteous king. This need was met by Jesus. It was met by Jesus. So that there is the pictures of Jesus. Now, this is my favorite part, practical living. You know, I asked you earlier at the opening, I just gave you a bunch of information. I tried to preach along the way. Now, I just want to preach to you for a minute with all the information, because a lot of us already know this. This is life application. Life application. Every time God's word is open, we're being spoke to. All we got to do, it's not hard. You ready for this one? Go home and apply it. It makes the difference. A lot of us will take it and it'll just bounce right off. Some of these words, some people in here, I'm preaching to you and it's just falling on the floor. Remember, where did I ask you to take it to? Take it to the deepest part of your heart, and it will fix a multitude of problems. God is for you. He is not against you. He is a deliverer. The book of Judges is our example of what to do and not to do. We are being called to break the cycle today. Jesus is that cycle breaker. He's the chain breaker. We sing it all the time. There is safety for us when there is a judge in our lives. A judge in our lives. Recently, I went up to a brother, and I just said, hey, man, you all right? You know, we're talking. And it got a little confrontational, but at the end, it was received. But what bothered me is I hated to see my brother in that situation. I wasn't being a judge. I was being a deliverer. When it got confrontational, it seemed like I was being a judge. But really, I was being a deliverer. We don't want the enemy to steal the best parts of us. And I don't want the enemy to steal the best parts of you, and nor should you want that from me. Don't think judge, think accountability. So you can't judge me. We hear that a lot. I've heard that from mostly carnal Christians, right? Carnal Christians are notorious. You can't judge me. Oh, yeah, I can. All I'm going to say is, dude, you shouldn't talk that way. Is that judgment? Dude, you're going to preach over here, and the same group of people hear you over here acting like a buffoon. I take that personal, man. I say, man, don't you think when you talk, you should not use those words or maybe that anger or, you know, hey, I would get more passionate about the Christian living than the political environment, you know, because it makes you angry. It makes you say stuff that's bad. So don't think judge. Think accountability. A friend. We're doing a MCBC recovery. A sponsor. You think when somebody who's has an addiction problem, he said, hey, man, will you be my sponsor? And they're like, yeah, man, I'll be your sponsor. Then they get a couple weeks down the road, and then the sponsor says something to the guy who's got an addiction, and like, dude, what are you getting all over my case? Dude, you asked me to be your sponsor. I'm holding you accountable. I love you. I've been there where you've been. But man, I got 13 years sobriety. I got 2 years sobriety. You got jack nothing. Take a good look and let me help you out. Listen. Listen. I'm not judging you. I'm delivering you. Think discipler. Our disciples are being discipled by people who have been there, done that. Disciplers, you are to be a deliverer. Be a deliverer. And you got to be careful in the tone you use and what have you. It's the same thing with the children, right? You're angry all the time. They're confused by your anger versus the good deed that you're doing to tell them not to put their finger in their light socket, right? So, or you could try reverse psychology and stick it in there for them. So that's just an idea. Don't do that. So anyway, bad joke. Think spiritual leader. You ready for this one? Think pastor. Think pastor. A pastor stands up here and preaches and shares the word of God, and he is leading us into a place of worship with God. And a lot of times he doesn't know where we're at. He might know some, but Mike's up here preaching. Bo is up here preaching. Bo and Mike are both working behind the scenes. Stories happen, things happen, and they might come up to you and say, hey, man, let me talk to you for a minute. Let's have a talk. And he's just delivering. They're just delivering. That's all they're doing. But a lot of time, we want to take grief. The pastor judging me. Okay, call it what you will, but it's delivery is what it is. It's delivery. And then everybody wants to take it personal. If there's one thing I've learned in life, is not to take anything personal, because my flesh would be angry with that. So I try not to take things personal, especially when I know the people who are delivering it. Whoever's delivering the good, they love me, I'm taking it, right? Think on the physical side of things, think of employer. You've been caught doing something you shouldn't. You got addressed. He's judging you, it sounds like, it feels like, but he's actually delivering you from losing your job if you do it again. So what are you getting all technical and taking it personal for? You know, how about law enforcement? He pulled you over because we were speeding. How about the judge at the courthouse? Yeah, it got so bad you had to go to the judge. And he lays down the law. He's actually delivering you so you don't go and repeat what you did again and again and again. Right? You know, the DUIs, you know, whatever. I could come up with crazy stuff. So let me read this. Judges 2:18. Let's go to Judges 2:18. Judges 2:18. It says, we already read this once. We got to read it again now that we got a lot of substance here. It says here, and when the Lord raised them up, judges, then the Lord was with the judges and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. So that because of their groanings, that we'll think of grievings, right? So when we are in sin and we are not where we should be, the Holy Spirit is grieved, right? It's grieved. It's grieved. It's groaning. God's presence is in a state of sadness, if you will, uncomfortableness. And it says here, it said it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. There's things that we do, choices we make, that oppress us and vex us. I don't know anybody's story specifically, what's going on in your world, but think about those things. Start listing them off. Things that are oppressing you and vexing you, that are causing the spirit to grieve. It says, this is what the Lord says, and when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge. Don't take it personal, because it could be, and I very much believe so, if done in a proper spirit, it's actually God speaking to you through an individual that is a deliverer. Don't take it personal. When your pastor gets up here and our pastor gets up here and delivers the word and you got hit right in the heart, it was the Spirit of God speaking to you, whatever that situation is. And if he calls you in the office, because nobody likes to be called in the office, or maybe he might call you out to the car, you know, like, hey, man, by the way, let me talk to you for a minute. Hey, don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. Because you won't be delivered. The minute you start taking things personal, your delivery is at bay. It will not come until there's repentance, right? So I like that. He says the Lord is with the judge. Every one of these judges, the Lord was with. And he delivered them out of the hand of the enemies all the days of the judge. It's amazing. It says the judge... he judged 22 years, and they had 40 years apiece, something like that. I didn't bring those notes with me. He judged for 7 years, and they had 15 years apiece. It's amazing. If we would stay on the side of not taking things personal when we're getting judged, oh, wait, let's use the word deliverer, because we don't want anybody, that's being politically correct, by the way. You know, judge, deliverer. So I forget where I was going with that. But anyway, where there is no leadership or accountability, get ready for this. You can write this one down. I think this is the first time I said this. Sorry. Where there is no leadership, accountability, A vacuum will be created for the enemy to step in and to start his rule over you. Because that's exactly what happened here. They did it. As soon as the judge was dead, they went back to whoring around and literally just worshiping other idols instead of the God himself. So let me repeat that. Where there is no leadership, accountability, a vacuum will be created for the enemy to step in and to start his rule over you. When we have no final authority, expect chaos. Expect chaos. It says here, when we talk about the deliverer, right? It says, Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. Do you see the difference there? A friend will faithfully wound you, and yet the enemy will kiss you. So, don't take it personal. Do not take it personal. There's a delivery happening. Acts 7:51, it says, and this is crazy. It says, Acts 7:51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your father did, so do ye. I started out with this passage. I'm finishing with this passage. It says here, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. If you find yourself offensive and you've taken it personal, what you've done is not that the ultimate deliverer is the Holy Ghost. God working through and in you through his presence and through the outward presence of God coming, somebody coming to you, you've taken it personal. You've taken it personal. As your father did, so do ye. That had to hurt because he was actually... Paul was actually talking to the Pharisees in this passage, and he just says, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I wonder if he said it like that. He might have said it real nice, because sometimes that is just as hurtful, but or to the point. We should not want this verse to pop up with our picture as the poster child, right? So don't let this be said about you. Oh, be careful walking around that person. They get offended easy. They'll take it personal. I wouldn't go over there. No, I'm going over there. I love this person that much. I'm going over there. Especially when we're dealing with real hardcore sin. It's like, dude, we got to get you at a place of healing and a place where you're back in the fold. And that's another thing. As Christians, a lot of times we get outside the umbrella of the church. Here's the umbrella. We get over here, and man, all the elements are getting us, man. The world is just raining down boulders of problems, and just you name it. I don't have a list right here. It's just you name it, right? Get back over here. Whew, man, I thought I was going to die, man. I'm glad I'm back in church. I'm glad I'm back in the Word. I'm glad I'm back in fellowship with God, and I'm glad I'm amongst my fellow believers. There is safety under this umbrella. The children of Israel, they just didn't like to be under the umbrella. They did their own thing about any time they could get. As the new Christian or the New Testament Christian, we're not supposed to live that way. We shouldn't live that way. So, just summing everything up, Jesus is the ultimate judge, and he delivers from sin. Can I get a collective amen? Amen. There we go. He doesn't allow us to stay there. And one more time, I want to share this, the summary of the judges. People do evil. God sends oppression and oppressors because of that evil. Because people are in the evil of being oppressed, they cry, they repent. It all, I tell you what, everything changes at repentance. My life was saved from hell and from myself and from my past and the mistakes I would make in the future. At 22, I met Jesus Christ, and my life changed because I repented of my sin. And God has never left me nor forsaken me. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what you're into, what you shouldn't be into. I know one thing. Jesus is a deliverer. He just doesn't deliver out salvation and then stands back. He is with you all the way. Why do you think God took permanent residence in our hearts? Because he knew what we were capable of. He knew that we would be doing what we do, serving our own selves, doing right, which that is in our own eyes. And then the oppressor is defeated. People have rest, and then repeat. God knew this. He masterfully planned it all to draw us back to him. It's just, the real question is, are you going to take it personal? Nobody wants to be judged. Stop thinking about you being judged when somebody comes up to you. Think about them trying to deliver you. That's the difference maker. Jesus is a deliverer. Praise God for being almighty in all of his deliverance, because past, present, future, he knew exactly what we would need. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for your word today. Lord, it's encouraged to know, Lord, the ups and downs throughout the book of Judges. Actually, it kind of pictures our lives. But Lord, with the beautiful part of it, Lord, you always showed up. You always showed up. They mess up and you show up. We mess up and you show up. Lord, you're constant, you're persistent, you're consistent, you're almighty, you're full of grace and mercy. Lord, you never waver, Lord. You're faithful. You died on that cross and gave your all so we could be here today and hear a message like this. So many years removed from our own salvation, and so many years removed from the day, those 2,000 years ago, when you took the cross and bore it yourself, Lord, and died upon it. Thank you for resurrecting, Lord. That was the seal and the deliverance right there when you resurrected from that grave, Lord. You made everything possible. So with every eye bowed and eyes closed, I can feel compelled to ask. I'm going to have you raise your hand in your heart. Think about the message. Think about what God is saying to every one of us. If you were in a place where you take it personal because someone is judging you, actually delivering you, you're not where you should be. You should be ready to take heed to the warnings that are being given to you. So if there's somebody that has came to you, make it right with them. Thank them. And if somebody comes to you next week, remember this message. 15 years from now, remember this message. That said, Lord, thank you. Amen.